So tell me everything I need to know about Alejandro Pozuelo.
Well, I think, you know, the comment that Ali Curtis, TSC GM, made yesterday, I found very interesting. He sort of described him as a maestro. And I think that's kind of what they're looking for and what they need, you know, after the departure of Victor Vasquez. They need someone to sort of conduct the attack in midfield. And, you know, he comes with, his reputation certainly precedes him. He's one of the best teams, best players in Belgium. Spanish playmaker who's played in Spain, who's played in England with Swansea City. And, you know, a great setup, man. His profile is of that, is of a talented playmaker who can effectively link up with the forwards and really sort of be a game changer. And I think the most important part about him is he's 27, very much in the, you know, prime of his career. Mm-hmm. This is no disrespect to Victor Vasquez, because I thought he was brilliant during his 2 years here. But he was sort of in his 30s, and we saw he had injury problems last year that sort of prevented him from, you know, playing a full season. I don't, you know, with Pozuelo's age and his sort of condition, you don't think they'll have the same problems. So, you know, this has potential to be a big, big signing for TFC.
How does he compare to Javanko in terms of where he is at this stage of his career? Because clearly you seem to be saying he's more of a replacement for Vasquez than he is for Javanko, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you look at when Javanko came here, roughly, I think, we're the same age, and they're at similar parts in their career. Obviously, you know, Javanko came here, whatever it was, 27, 28, had not really been playing all that much at Juventus, so he needed a fresh start. That's not really the case for Pozuelo, because he's a starter for Genk, who are in first place in the Belgian league. He's one of the best players in the Belgian league. This is obviously just a new challenge for him, but he's coming, as I said, roughly at the same age, same part point in his career, but not necessarily with similar backgrounds. But again, with him being, you know, his age and just his what his player profile is and what he can bring to the table, you know, this could really be a big signing for TFC, because, you know, the loss of Vasquez, I think that was really massive for TFC. You know, this is in effect a replacement for him, and this is a guy who has the potential to be a real game changer in midfield.
How do you think his game will hold up in MLS, you know, and the travel and things of that nature?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Jeff, because he's already played a full season in Belgium thus far, and he's still going to be there for another 2 weeks. So you wonder how he will adapt to, A, the physical nature of MLS, because it is a physical league where defenders are notorious for their play off the ball, but also the travel. I mean, he's never sort of had to, you know, get on a plane and travel, you know, 5 hours out to the coast of Vancouver, L.A. for a game, and playing on multiple surfaces, you know, grass and artificial. He's going to have to learn a new culture, a new language. So it will be interesting to see how he adapts. You know, my sense is that he'll do okay with that. You know, other than his time at Swansea City, where he didn't really sort of live up to expectations, everywhere he's traveled, he's done well. And in Belgium, he's been absolutely brilliant for Genk since going there. So, you know, this is a new challenge for him. It's a new set of obstacles, but if his time spent in Belgium is any indication, you'd have to think that he's going to adapt well in the U.S. and Canada.
Ali Curtis said this was a particularly complicated negotiation. And, you know, and clearly it, just take a look at the amount of time it took to get it done. And you know, the fact that he's still going to stay there till March 17th. Was it, you know, you've seen a lot of these things. Was there anything about it other than just the time that made it so difficult?
Well, the fact that, you know, Genk didn't want to let him go. I mean, he had a release clause in his contract that TFC met, but Genk didn't want to release him. So, you know, TFC had to up their offer. And you could, from Genk's perspective, you can certainly understand why they wouldn't want to let go of not only their captain, but their best player. He's been outstanding for them this year. They're in first place. Belgium operates under a playoff system, and they're going into the playoffs. So you can certainly understand why they wouldn't necessarily want to let their best player go. And there was talk about letting him finishing out the season and coming in the summer. But obviously, TFC being in you know, wanting to find that sort of replacement for Vasquez, you know, time was of the essence, especially with, you know, the season having kicked off last week. So there was all this kind of going back and forth, and Ali Curtis and Bill Manning made a couple of trips to Belgium to get this deal done. I mean, but Genk was really fought this, and Pozuelo, you know, really was pushing for it, and it caused all kinds of problems internally. So I think just from that perspective, it was really a labored process. But in the end, you know, eventually Genk relented, and they sold him to TFC.
So once he's here and he's up to speed, what other tactical changes will Greg Vanney have to make? Is there somebody who will have to move position, or I mean, you know, the formation and the system and the personnel he used against Philadelphia. Granted, they do tend to have Philadelphia's number, but it certainly worked. What other changes will result from this? And you know, is Toronto FC still looking for more players?
In terms of more players, yeah. I mean, Ali Curtis has talked about wanting to add more players on the wing and more depth in, you know, defense and just the midfield. So I think more players are to come. Not necessarily marquee names, but I don't think there's any question that they'll be looking to add one or two more players just to get the numbers up. As far as how Pozuelo fits in, I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting, you know, and who loses their place in midfield. I mean, does Marky Delgado, who I thought played really well in Philadelphia, playing sort of a more deep-lying role, allowing Michael Bradley to get forward a little bit, does he make way? Does Nick DeLeon, the winger who, again, scored a goal and I thought was really great against Philadelphia, does he make way? I don't know. I mean, these are all sort of interesting tactical questions that Greg is going to have to sort of consider. But I don't think there's any question that once Pozuelo gets here and he's up to speed, he's in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, sort of that, as I said, that midfield conductor. You know, I don't suspect it's going to be a major tactical overhaul. I mean, Greg has talked about, you know, the changes that he's made in formation and sort of the tactical approach this year. He's made them with the long-term sort of thinking that Pozuelo was going to come. So he has prepared for this. I think it'll just be interesting to see how it actually sort of plays out physically on the field with, you know, with who makes way and where he'll be positioned and how it pans out in a general sense.
What do we learn about TFC out of that win against Philadelphia? Again, bearing in mind it's a team that they have had success against.
I think that there's a little bit fight left in this team, mm-hmm. more than we seem to give them credit for. You know, I was really impressed. You look at how the team did against Independiente, the Panamanian club, in that Champions League tie, and they were pretty bad over the two legs, especially the first leg, which was, you know, one of the worst performances in franchise history. And I think there was a lot of lingering questions about the mentality of this team, whether they were soft and whether they can really sort of bounce back from adversity. But they played hard on Saturday, and you know, they weathered a little bit of storm. There were times when Philadelphia dictated the pace of the game, and they didn't sort of crumble. And I don't necessarily think you would have. They would have lost that game last year. I mean, I think this is so they showed that there's a little bit more fighting spirit in there. And I think it's, you know, if Michael Bradley and Nick DeLeon can score, I think that's important. I think, you know, especially with Giovinco gone, with Altidore not in the starting lineup for that game, they're going to need everyone to contribute. They need balanced scoring. It just can't be Altidore and Terrence Boyd and sort of the attacking players. They need everyone to contribute. And I think Bradley scoring two goals, you know, he hadn't scored, you know, for an MLS since 2016. That's massive. So if they can get consistent contributions from everyone in the midfield and some, you know, get some defenders to score some goals, then I think that's huge. I think that's, you know, that's a really big positive for TFC going forward.
Penalties too, John. Penalties.
Yeah, I know. Got to do something about that. Yeah, well, I mean, Giovinco's not there, and Altidore wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what they do. I don't know, you know, do you get like a designated taker? I mean, do you let Alex Bono take one? I mean, I don't know. Maybe try something different. I mean, who knows? You know, you've got to mix it up. Maybe it's something like, you know, maybe it's something as simple as having like someone like Drew Moore or Laurel Samoa, center back, taking them because, right, you know, they've got pretty powerful kicks. instead of, you know, the attacking guys. My sense is that sometimes they try to overthink it and be a little too cute. And I don't know if that's what Osorio did on, I mean, it was a poorly taken penalty kick, but I don't know if he was just in his head too much. I wonder if you just take someone like a Laurent Simon or Drew Moore and just say, look, just drill it home. Don't worry about placement. Just go for power so that, you know, don't try to get too cute. So I just wonder if that's sort of the case. I mean, it's something that's, you know, it's kind of plagued this team for the last two seasons. So it's something they have to address.
Now I know.
Maybe start practicing them in training sessions. I don't know.
I know that Pozuelo is Spanish, but I mean, having Laurent Simon here, would they know each other? I know, of course, Simon was a member of the Belgian team. Would they have ever crossed paths or known each other? And who might the new guy be able to rely on when he comes here? Is there going to be kind of a soft shoulder for him here?
Yeah, I don't know if he and Simone would have crossed paths. I mean, it's possible, but, you know, off the top of my head, I can't think of any circumstances in which they would. As far as who he could rely on when he gets here, I mean, Altidore he speaks Spanish fluently, and he's played in Spain. So, you know, you'd have to think he would probably, you know, rely on him a little bit, maybe on Aro Jr., even though a Brazilian who speaks Spanish.
Right.
I think some of the foreign players who have, you know, experience having played abroad and now coming here for the first time, I think they can relate to what he's doing. It should also be noted, I mean, Toronto FC, and a lot of clubs do this, but they do a really good job of helping guys fit in, right? I mean, they have a whole entire department that is dedicated to helping new players from abroad acclimate to life in Toronto in terms of, you know, helping them get an apartment and schools for the kids and, you know, stuff like banking and getting the cable set up. They really go out of their way to make sure that the only thing they have to worry about is showing up to training and to play on Saturday or Sunday. So I think that'll be helped. But in terms of, like, the camaraderie inside the locker room, I suspect he's going to, you know, probably lean on someone like Altidore and some of the other sort of foreign-based players who have played in MLS.
Did you like what you saw to Toronto FC defensively against Philadelphia? And I'm thinking in particular Seaman.
I did, yeah. I mean, I think Samal had, you know, a little rough 20 minutes, but then he really sort of settled down. And I thought he was very solid. I think, you know, playing alongside people like Chris Mavinga, who I thought was immense. I thought he was probably one of the better players for TFC. And Drew Moore, you know, I like that back three. Not the quickest by any imagination, but I think just from a defensive IQ perspective, I mean, that's a pretty impressive back three. You know, and they had a bend but not break quality of them against Philadelphia, and, you know, they weren't caught out really. And then the goal that they conceded was, not necessarily their fault. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it was off a penalty. So, yeah, I liked what I saw. I mean, I think it's Samal especially had a rough, you know, outing in the Champions League, and I thought he looked a little bit more composed. And again, I think just benefited from playing alongside someone like Chris Mavinga and Drew Moore.